listener production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, the censure of attention. Scott Morrison has been censured over his secret ministries by a margin of 86 votes to 50, becoming the first former Prime Minister to be formally condemned by Parliament. Speaking against the motion, Morrison offered no contrition, but plenty more nonsensical lies to go with those already picked apart by the Bell Inquiry. "Had I been asked about these matters at the time," Morrison said, "I would have responded truthfully about the arrangements I had put in place." It was an illogical comment that just about broke the brains of some journalists, who had often struggled to get a straight answer out of him. Morrison, notably, did the exact opposite of responding truthfully when he was asked if there were further appointments after just the first three came to light. As some concluded, it is not worth the cost to one's sanity to dissect every inconsistency in Morrison's account. The former Prime Minister is already in disgrace, rejecting every opportunity to apologise or redeem himself. But it was the Coalition that bore the greatest shame of the day, voting down a motion to condemn the, quote, "undermining of responsible government," and many of its MPs shaking the culprit's hand on their way out the door. Not every Coalition MP degraded themselves. As expected, moderate Liberal Bridget Archer crossed the floor, noting she did so to support Liberal values. As Archer said in her speech, "It might be a shock to some who sit here from all sides, but this is not a game. There are things that sit above the cut and thrust of politics, and the essential motion goes to our system of democracy." Former Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews, whose portfolio was one of the ones Morrison secretly took on, abstained from the vote, although she did echo party leaders in claiming Labor was engaged in a stunt, quote, "milking it for all it was worth." A handful of other Coalition MPs chose not to engage in the mass walkout that followed Morrison's speech, including Michael McCormack, Angie Bell, Keith Wallahan, Jenny Ware, and Aaron Violi. But the vast majority did, lining up to shake Morrison's hand as if he had just delivered an all-important speech, rather than a sad, delusional, self-congratulatory ramble. There was, I noted yesterday, something embarrassing about the scene coming out of the Coalition party room, with Morrison reportedly standing to thank his colleagues, many of whom clearly despise him. Coalition MPs have made a tribal decision to stand by their former leader, missing an opportunity to distance themselves from his actions, all to avoid giving Labor a win, according to some. But the idea they had to sit there and listen to the man who betrayed them say thank you for their loyalty was deeply cringeworthy. Today's parliamentary ring-kissing was even worse. Opposition leader Peter Dutton did not speak on today's motion to avoid having to openly defend Morrison, whose actions have been found to be, quote, "corrosive of trust in government." But the handshakes said it all, with the Coalition MPs publicly bowing to the man who had already humiliated them, whose mad power grab made their whole government look like a house of cards. It was, to employ the colourful words of one-time Labor leader Mark Latham, a conga line of suckholes on the Conservative side of politics. The public grovelling of Liberal MP Alex Hawke was also up there, with Hawke releasing a statement praising Morrison's character, ability and service as Prime Minister, after being quoted as saying that Morrison should have resigned. Those handshakes won't be going into Hansard, though as Resources Minister Madeleine King reminded MPs, their votes will, in a record that will remain long after they are gone. The handshakes, however, will surely be remembered by those who found Morrison's actions offensive, or by anyone who wants their representatives to simply have a spine. It was one thing to vote down the motion, however craven, arguing the appointments didn't warrant a censure. It was quite another to line up to shake the hand of the leader who kept such secrets from you, and who still refuses to acknowledge what he did, or even bother to keep his story straight at all. It is, famously, quite possible to turn down a handshake from Scott Morrison, but Coalition MPs are still lining up to receive one, fawning over the man who showed all of Australia, but especially them, so little respect. Moving on to our good opinion of the day, former Minister for Indigenous Australians Ken Wyatt said he presented a detailed report to the Morrison Cabinet on an Indigenous voice to Parliament. slamming the laziness and immaturity of former ministers who now claim there isn't enough detail. As Wyatt told RN Breakfast, the detail is there. Learn to read. A split is now emerging in the Nationals, with multiple MPs breaking ranks over the decision to oppose The Voice. And in today's Bad Opinion, an unnamed person familiar with the Liberal Election Review says it has ruled out quotas and will instead recommend gender targets. As the person told the Nine papers, it's recommending targets, not quotas. The party already has targets, and they are not working. It is, as Nine's Jacqueline Mailey argues, the definition of insanity. Talking numbers, and there are four Closing the Gap targets currently on track, out of 18, while four others are getting worse. The Prime Minister today urged MPs to support the Indigenous Voice to Parliament, rejecting suggestions it would not help. And in today's policy, the National Anti-Corruption Commission bill has passed both houses, meaning Australia is finally set to have a federal watchdog. It follows a tense 24 hours, with Labor again voting with the Coalition to oppose key crossbench amendments in the Senate. In today's episode of 7am, they're the most significant protests China has seen for 30 years. But how have they happened under the surveillance regime of the state? And what do they mean for the future of the Chinese Communist Party, of Xi Jinping and the China he's trying to shape? Today, journalist Louisa Lim on the protests igniting across China, despite the shadow of Tiananmen Square. Listen to 7am now on the Listener app. And that is The Politics for Wednesday, November 30. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.